Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening and welcome to Comic-Con Stars. This is Dr. John. We got a great show lined up for everybody tonight and glad to be with you on this first day of June. First day of June. Golly, don't know what month it is. And we've got Paul Mixon, who's a cosplayer. He's from Florence. He's going to chat with us a little bit. And we got Dave Atwell on, and it looks like we got the one and only Papa Stro Maestro is joining us. So, first of all, I want to run down. We got some great events coming up, and I got that on the Comic-Con Stars webpage. I know that this Sunday, Papa Stro and I will be at the world premiere of Vaughn, the sitcom, in Wilmington, North Carolina. That's a party hosted by Mike Roberts. And then next Saturday, the June 10th, I will be in Wilmington watching UPWA wrestling and watching Papa Stro wrestle. Then the next weekend, which is going to be June 16th and 17th, Heroes Con in Charlotte, North Carolina, one of the biggest events in the Carolinas. So we're all looking forward to that. And then I'll wrap it up with Saturday and Sunday, June the 24th and 25th, Steampunk Mid-Atlantic in Raleigh, North Carolina at the Ramada Inn. That's going to be a blast. We're going to have a lot of fun. I hope everybody can come out and join us, and we'll have a great time. So, first of all, I want to say hey to Papa Stro. How are you doing tonight?
Wonderful, wonderful. Power walking as usual. Join the fireflies. Seen a little bit of the moon. And right here, blessed to be here on Comic-Con Stars once again.
Well, we're glad to have you here. And I also see you're going to be doing a Facebook Live right after Comic-Con Stars. Is that right?
Absolutely. I'll be on my Facebook page providing updates and showing a few gifts I got from the other night with the Wounded Warriors and Regal Cinemas. So, looking forward
to
being on there with everybody.
Well, good. Be sure to hit that in the plug section. Remind me. I'll be so busy talking, I may forget. So I sure hope I want to make it to that one, and we'll enjoy hearing you talk about that great event that you were in. Dave Atwell, you are with us, aren't you?
Yes, sir. How are you?
Pretty good.
Dave, my brother.
What's going on? Yeah, I'm standing out here in the balmy North Carolina evening trying to enjoy a cigar and hope these mosquitoes don't carry me off to parts unknown. But, yeah, it seems like the weather's been pretty decent, and then I go stand out on the deck to have a cigar, and all of a sudden the humidity kicks in. It must be karma.
Oh, yeah,
yep.
It's hazy out there, isn't it?
Yeah, Dave, if the mosquitoes carry you off to parts unknown, you'll have to have a mask on. Because, Papa Stro, isn't it true that everyone from parts unknown has a mask?
And I want my daughter to know that whenever she grows up.
Oh, yeah, especially if they're a Thunderfoot or the Assassin or a Masked Marauder, the Spoiler, or a Masked Superstar.
Exactly.
You got a mask on you. You're straight from the hood.
El Lobo? Remember El Lobo for Charlotte? Oh, God.
You remember the medics?
Yes. That's a good one. I hadn't thought about them. They had those white masks. They were tough. They were real. Did you ever wrestle the medics, Papa Stro?
Long time ago. I mean, luckily they were like 80 by the time I started. But not in their prime. But.
Hey, you know, Stro, you remember the Super Destroyer? Speaking of mask guys, you remember the Super Destroyer?
Oh.
He's the guy who first did the Superplex. And we were in Savannah one night, and I was a kid. You know, my dad take me down to matches. Let me tell you something. Hey, that guy's name is rarely spoken these days. But that guy would put on a match. And, I mean, if he wasn't every bit of, 10'13", I mean, the guy was huge. And when he'd stand somebody up on that second turnbuckle, God knows how high up in the air they were when they did that superplex. But, I mean, him and the Masked Superstar are two of my favorite masked wrestlers. Those guys and the Assassins. The Assassins were great, but they were kind of on the way out when we were kids,
I remember the Super Destroyer down in Texas. He used to feud with the Von Erichs, world class, and Chris Adams and Gino Hernandez down there.
Yeah. He's a big boy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And what about the spoiler? Remember the spoiler?
Yeah.
The spoiler was the Undertaker's inspiration when he was breaking into business.
Oh, really?
The spoiler would do a lot with the Undertaker would do at times, walking the top rope and coming down on his opponents, you know, and he was kind of the inspiration for the Undertaker when he was starting out in the business.
No kidding.
Don Jardine.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, because I remember when Undertaker started with the Twin Towers. Old
right.
Dan Spivey and
Mean Mark.
Mean Mark, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, this has been a great lesson on mass wrestling history. It's awesome. I want to introduce right now, we got a really fine cosplayer from Florence, South Carolina on with us to chat about cosplay for a little bit. Paul Mixon, how are you doing tonight, Paul?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing just great. We're having a good time tonight. After we talk to you, this is going to be just our show, and we're going to talk about wrestling, conspiracy theories, or whatever we want to talk about. It's just going to be a lot of fun. I know you were getting a little bit of history lesson there. Yep, so Paul, the reason I'm talking to Paul is, first of all, he and a friend of his are going to be featured cosplayers at the Cape Fear Comic Con on August the 12th in Wilmington. And Paul, tell us a little bit about the what you guys do, you know, what are the characters you do, and a little bit about how you have gone about putting all that gear together. It's pretty fascinating.
Well, I cosplay as a Predator. My better half, my girlfriend, which she couldn't be on tonight, which she had to work, she does the Xenomorph, which is pretty much from the movie Aliens. So we do Alien versus Predator, and we draw a great crowd. We pretty much started working out on the suits and making an armor and just getting the makeup ready and airbrushing and painting, getting everything to the movie quality, if I would put it that way. And,
you won several cosplay awards, so I think people will agree that what you do is pretty much movie quality when you're out there at these Comic Cons. It really is.
Oh yeah. I mean,
and how long did it take you to get the Predator done from start to finish?
Well, really, it took about close to a year to get him where I wanted him. I went back through the years or so coming up and revamping him, but you know, I would be a continuous thing. Oh, I need to fix this. Oh, I need to make it look like that, and then I would keep rebuilding. But it took me, roughly a year to get the entire ordeal together so I could have the Predator.
Now, how about
to intervene just real quick. I watched the new Alien Covenant movie last night when I was at the Wounded Warrior event for Regal Cinemas, and I got to tell you that this new Alien movie is just amazing. I mean, it's really cool, and it's a continuation actually, not only from the Alien movie saga, but also from the movie Prometheus.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's also part of
yeah,
it.
I thought that was pretty decent.
So Prometheus and Alien Covenant, they're showing the actual beginning of how the Xenomorph became to be, after how
right,
the alien
right.
came to be.
Yeah,
so,
it was a continuation of that too, as well. So, I mean, it was
right.
really cool how everything in this movie kind of flowed together. You know, it was really good story.
Right.
Because they needed something to save that last Predator flick, that one with Adrian Brody. Good Lord. Man, you know, here it goes again. It falls into that category I hit all the time about there had to have been a caterer or a janitor or somebody out there on that set that could have stopped and said, guys, hey, this sucks. I mean, I tried my best, and I actually made it through the movie. And I watched the whole thing. When the credits rolled, I cried. You thought I was watching The Notebook. I mean, it was one of those ones where I was like, I will never get this 90 minutes back. So when I die and I go to the pearly gates, God willing, I'm going to stand up in front of St. Pete and say, hey, big man, send me down for another 90 minutes. I need it back for that Aliens flick I watched.
Oh, wow.
Well, I can.
But
I
kind of
thought that about
this new movie at the end, a lot of twists and turns, and a big swerve at the end. It's really, really cool.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
I would say definitely you need to, if you haven't seen it, you need to see it.
All right, Dr. John's got to go see it this week. No ifs, ands, or buts. I'll go see it. Of course, I hadn't seen it. I'm always working on Comic Con stars and my Comic Cons. I never have a chance to go see any movies, so I need to go do that. But I tell you what, Paul, you and Aubrey have done well. You won the Florence Comic Con cosplay championship several times in a row, haven't you?
Yes, we have. We won three times.
Wow.
So I mean, it's hard. We have tough competitors too. So I mean, But it's fun. It's all in fun. But
yeah, I think you beat Joe Earls, who did Spawn last year. He won in a category, but he didn't quite eclipse you guys in the final.
Yes, we did. We beat him. Actually, we did a skit of where the Predator is an alien.
No kidding.
Okay.
Now, how much 3D printing do you do with that? Do you incorporate any of that, or is this pretty much all hand done?
I haven't really 3D printed any of the things that I haven't 3D printed anything yet. For that, I pretty much did latex foam and cloth and EVA foam. That's mostly what my armor's made of. But
wow.
I mean, I've used latex. I pretty much airbrushed pretty much all the paint that you see on him and everything else. So he's pretty awesome.
Well, that's great. Well, Paul, you know, thanks for telling us a little bit about this. You've been very successful. And you and Aubrey, the two of you have been successful, and we are really looking forward to having you at the Cape Fear Comic Con on August the 12th in Wilmington.
I was going to say, don't change that date on me.
That was a little slip.
Come on, man.
Oh, I know it's tough, but it's a lot of fun. All I know is right now my next event is with you, Papa Stro. We're heading to Wilmington to see Vaughn.
Mm-hmm.
And that's gonna
be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. So. We'll let everybody know how it went. It will be a lot of fun. And now, you know, I decided not to have but one guest tonight so that the three of us could talk. Because you know what? We never get to talk. We're always listening, challenging guests, talking to them. But now tonight we can just talk and have a good time. So the one thing I sent out in a text is to tell us a story from what you do that we haven't heard before. And Dave Atwell, I'm going to let you start, and then Papa Stro, it'll be your turn, then I'll try to come up with one. That'll get us started, and we may never quit. We may start talking and never quit. Dave, tell us a cool story.
Well, the first conspiracy is I'm trying to figure out where the cigar went. It's a very good cigar, and I'm like, it's a Perdomo 20th anniversary, and somebody's burned this thing all the way down, and I'm going, who did this? So it had to have been somebody here in the house. Not that I'm a suspect at all. But funny thing is, you know, and I'm glad you broke the table open for us tonight when it comes down to get back to the old conspiracy theory and everything. I'm actually trying to find an origin for the Hunger Curse, you know, in the book series and all. So, I'm reading some stuff the other night, and I've read over it lightly, so bear with me if I'm not, you know, totally on my A game when it comes down to it. But there is, there's a time differential somewhere with the Sphinx and the pyramids, where it's like a 2,000 to 2,500-year gap. And there's actually stuff written in the Egyptian, what was that? Not calligraphy. Jeez Louise, my mind's leaving me tonight.
Hieroglyphics,
there we go. That actually depicts space travel, you know, between spacesuits or anything of any type of flight or something of that nature. And as I'm looking at this stuff and I'm reading it, I says, wow, wouldn't it be something out of hand if we found out that the hunger was behind the destruction of the planet? And that somehow or another humanity had to destroy the planet, or not destroy the planet, but destroy the humanity to save it from the hunger itself. And somehow or another, mankind lay dormant for 2,000 years until, well, not dormant totally, but almost had to get a reboot all the way and pick back up in, you know, the ancient, what is that, Tigris, Euphrates, like we learned in social studies and everything. So I've been reading up on that, and I've also been reading up quite a bit on this whole European Viking / Templar Knights heading over to North America through Greenland and all that. And that's some pretty interesting stuff, you know, when you really start digging down. Unfortunately, there's not a whole lot of written history as tight as, say, Columbus had it. But there's so many things over here that keep turning up. You got to wonder, and I'm pretty convinced that Columbus wasn't the first guy who got over here. Columbus was the first guy who made it publicly.
If I may, I actually have something to turn in onto that. In 18th century, they've actually... dating back, they actually prove that Columbus wasn't the first person to the United States, came over. They actually proved that the Templars did, because they found artifacts, their crosses, their parts of their armor, even their boats, even pieces of them. And I think one of them, and I don't know if you guys watch this stuff or not, is Oak Island. Is
Oh, yeah. I remember reading about the Templars. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was really about the Templars and their treasure or whatever that they were bringing from Jerusalem. So that was just...
And you know, the Templars...
They're the elite at that time.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
And the footnote about those brothers out there, the Magina brothers, I tell you what, you want to talk about a set of guys I wouldn't mind having a beer with. I mean, you watch this show and, you know, you watch all these other, you know, Wicked Tuna and these things. These guys are always scrapping, hating on one another and everything. But you watch the Lagina brothers, and these two guys are working as a team. And
oh, yeah.
I guess it gives you that warm fuzzy, and you're actually pulling for these guys. There would please me more to see these guys actually hit something. Make it worth their while for all the effort they put into it. And not to mention old man Blankenship. What a great guy, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So these guys ain't mistaken for the Corsican brothers, right?
No, where you stomp on one foot and the other one feels it? No, not yet.
Oh, Lord.
But to throw this out there, all right, let's just say, and this is something I've been saying for a long time, all right? Let's just say, playing devil's advocate here, anybody digs anywhere and does find the Ark of the Covenant and does find the Holy Grail. Could you imagine what impact that would have? I mean, it would cause mass hysteria. You know what I mean? If you really stop and think about the way the world goes right now, what with the conflict between, you know, the Muslim faith, Christian faith, and what we're going through socially with both religions right now, could you possibly imagine, you know, we've spoken before about aliens and how they've possibly, you know, there's a government cover-up on alien landings and contact and everything. And to be honest with you, sometimes I think society needs to be protected from itself. As much as I hate like crazy to say that, there are some people out there that are real knuckleheads. And
you're actually right about that.
You take Indiana Jones' advice, Dave, and don't look. Keep your eyes shut. You know what happened last time they opened the Ark and all that, and what happened when
you
the Holy
Grail...
You
have chosen wisely.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, yeah, I don't want my face melting, man. I'm going to leave that one alone. Close your
eyes,
Dave.
Sure.
I just love what Sean Connery says. Junior!
Junior?
<Yeah. laughs> Shingles? Are there shingle women around here? But he was too busy hanging out with Elliot Ness, so, you know, there go with the untouchables. But could you imagine the impact, the mass hysteria that it would create if we did find a legitimate Christian and or Muslim artifact? It would be just, I mean,
it'd be mind-blowing.
I've sat and thought about it. Yeah, it would be out of control. Because, I mean, we've all got, and this is not going to sound good, but to a certain extent, religion does kind of go into a folklore thing because we really don't have any proof either way. But, I mean, for crying out loud, if they were to actually come by some type of, dinosaur bones, for crying out loud, there's no doubt dinosaurs were out there roaming around because we're finding these bones all over the place. The Dead Sea Scrolls. I mean, there's people still who deny that. And I'm going, well, how can you deny it? You know what I mean? It's found, it's there, it's written.
Right.
Well, you can't tell me that the Shroud of Turin is the only artifact that has been found and begun to have been examined. I think, I mean, and as you were talking about this, Dave, I wouldn't put it past several of the world governments. If they hadn't already found them, they know where they are and they're keeping them a secret. I mean, because...
Oh, yeah.
In a sense, they sometimes...
Well,
they
that
don't
kind of goes
them.
Into
no,
government.
Yeah. No way.
That actually goes into government conspiracy there.
Not the government.
Yeah.
Not
yeah,
the government
of course.
Do that.
Yeah,
what
right.
They tell Indiana Jones, we've got our top people working on it.
Yeah, that's like you know, oh, we didn't use biological warfare in Desert Storm. Oops.
It never happened.
Yeah, like it never happened, but yet you have 40,000 other troops that came home after Desert Storm, and they don't know what it is, but yet they're just actually giving them the medicine and everything that they need for the skin conditions.
Right.
Hmm.
Sensitive to skin.
And you know, Trump,
their skin's real sensitive. They break out in a rash. They actually had chronic chronic kidney stones. They actually have all this, but yet they don't know what it is.
Yep. It's like the aliens in the Mars movie where they're going around with a megaphone saying, "Don't run, we are your friends." And they're shooting people with lasers.
You talk about Mars Attacks.
Yeah.
Yep.
Those are the aliens from Uranus, bro. You got them tangled up, buddy.
And I couldn't believe that the song in that movie, an old country song, makes their head explode.
Oh, yes. Slim Whitman. That was Slim Whitman. Slim Whitman was killing the aliens. I couldn't believe it.
Yep.
Wait, and wasn't that Betty White?
What?
Was she the grandma?
What about
grandma that was like listening to Slim Whitman?
Yeah, Betty White was the grandma, and she and like they pulled the headphones, and they were about to blast her brain with some kind of laser or something, and she pulled the headphones, and they all sat there and just died.
I don't blame it. That probably made my head explode too. I feel bored.
Well, you remember Slim used to have those commercials on cable all the time with Slim Whitman's greatest hits. And
yeah,
when
I'm calling you.
Right,
then he's like yodeling, and I'm like, oh, God, just kill me.
Oh, God, I was praying for the Boxcar Willie commercial to come on anytime doing a Slim Whitman episode. Good Lord.
Just think that people bought that Slim Whitman greatest hit. And you know they did.
Oh, I know it.
People are
he had,
you know
he
they
had
are
sold
in
a few.
That
yeah.
It's not junk. It's classic country. Banana Jack will tell you it's classic. I'll tell you it's, well, we don't want to listen to it.
I tell you what it is. It's polka on pneumonia. That's what it is.
Stro, did you say it was polka on pneumonia?
Yes, sir.
That's
great.
Know what? That's just about as good as polyester simpletons.
Oh, I can't take care of that. That was the writers.
what? Polyester simpletons?
Yeah.
You didn't come up with that folklore?
Not that particular one, no. But I did come up with the line. I taught Wayne Newton the Donkey Shane in Vegas.
Oh, there you go.
I came up with that.
Okay. Well, you get an A for polka and pneumonia.
Because I'm
not even
pneumonia. I just saw him in the best. Yeah. I just saw him in the best movie.
There's a certain conspiracy attached to pneumonia, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, attached to pneumonia.
Because, I mean, you hear about this walking pneumonia, but you never hear about a running pneumonia or a sitting pneumonia or, like, a headstand pneumonia. Why is walking always, like, singled out? It always makes me scared to walk during cold season.
I like to do this brisk Olympic walk, you know? Like in Slim Whitman's case, he had oral pneumonia. And every time he opened his mouth, I mean, it was contagious.
God.
Yeah, Lord. Pneumonia. That's the stuff my mom used to clean the kitchen with, pneumonia.
Yeah.
But don't drink it, though.
It never was a 409, that's for sure.
And this is why we have guests every week.
Yeah, because,
oh, man.
People love to hear it. Sometimes we're better than a guest. I think. We love you guests. Not saying you're not all great. You've all been awesome, but sometimes we can be.
I love it when that Mars Attacks movie, when Tom Jones is singing. He's singing, it's not unusual. And his backup dancers disappear, and the aliens reappear, dancing to the song. And he looks at him, and Tom Jones, in his English voice, goes, "Jesus Christ!" Oh, my God. I just fall out. Oh, my God.
And then all of a sudden, they just start killing everybody.
Oh, yeah. And
Jones,
Danny DeVito,
awesome,
running like a fanboy, saying, "I love you, Tom Jones." And he starts dancing, and he sees the aliens, he starts running. Oh, it's great.
Oh, Lord.
That's back in the movies. I mean, people had a sense of humor back then.
I don't know. Really and truly about the past or whatever, you usually not used to see, you know, used to have, music used to mean something, movies used to mean something. Nowadays, it's just changed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
yeah, I agree. Kind of like Suicide Squad.
Don't get me started.
Yeah, there we go off on another tangent. Yeah. There's another conspiracy. Who conspired to put that keep together?
I'd rather watch Beautician and the Beast for 8 hours straight.
Oh, jeez. I mean,
what a train wreck, huh? Good Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. As a writer, I look at this and I go, how? Just how?
Or why?
You know, I'm not Shakespeare by any stretch of the imagination, but
you know,
I got to
have the worst,
you know,
match in the history of pro wrestling, and it still wouldn't even compare to the train wreck that Suicide Squad was.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But somebody got paid.
That's right on up there with Shockmaster.
I can really see it. Exactly. I can really stick up the joint and kill the town for business and everything, and still wouldn't even compare to the god awful hoopla that was. Writing the script for Suicide Squad.
Oh,
my favorite part of that whole movie was when they said, "Okay, I quit," and they walk into that bar. Now there's the apocalypse going
the
on
writer.
Outside.
I quit.
Okay, but they go into this lounge. They've got power. They've got cold drinks, ice, music playing, all the pool tables still have all their balls, and I'm going, well, Jesus, man, the sun shines out here and Time Warner goes out. You know, it's like, how does this work? Where can I go where the apocalypse has happened and I still have power? You know?
Yeah.
And
I mean,
cold beer. Send me there.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Can I actually,
apocalypse happen if
yeah,
I'm
invite me, please.
Get all that.
Now, there was actually one thing I actually wanted to bring up, and I don't know if you guys heard this. You know that they're actually coming out with another Predator movie.
Oh,
they're
brother.
Actually coming out.
Mommy, make it stop.
Does it have Arnold? Does it have Arnold?
Yes, actually there is. Actually, there is a rewrite.
Yeah.
Supposedly a rewrite rumor that's going around that Shane Black is going to bring Arnold back into it.
Now you're talking.
And this is supposed to be a reboot after Predator. After
I'm
the original
now.
Films. No AVP.
I'm sold now. I'm there.
I'm with you.
Right.
The only problem is we won't have Jesse in it. I ain't got time to bleed.
Damn.
Nah. I'm sorry. I like trying to think of his name. He's the one that was always quiet. He said, "Well, we're gonna die," and just walks off.
Billy, the Indian.
Yeah, Billy. There you go.
Yeah, the Native American.
I'm like,
guy.
What the hell happened to him? You know, like
he was good, and they had Carl Weathers in there too. And you can't help but like Carl because he's, of course, Apollo Creed.
Apollo Creed.
You always got to
pull
for Apollo. Yeah.
Did anybody else thought it was kind of weird that he was still shooting even though his arms was dismembered?
Yeah, it's a little tough to shoot a gun
with
no arms.
Talent.
I'm sure it can be done. Yeah.
That's big talent, man.
You really got to be on your A game.
Maybe he was a Jedi Knight.
I'm not touching that gun with whatever he was pulling the trigger with no arms. I'm not touching that gun.
Hey,
dude, stop that. Don't do that. You're going to hurt yourself.
Hey.
Oh, man.
Like that like Homie the Clown episode with the Wayans when they attacked the clown into the bed.
And Paul's sitting there right now, and he's thinking to himself, 20 minutes ago, he's going, wow, I'm getting ready to be on this web show. And now he's going, Jesus, what did I get myself into?
I've been wondering where it's been all my life.
Far out, man.
That's right. Thank you very much there. That's right. I mean, this is what life's all about. Now, Papa Stroh, you have been quietly laying in wait to tell us one of your great wrestling stories. That we don't know about. You got one?
Oh, maybe that's a good thing.
Heck no.
Oh, okay. Oh, Lord. Oh, let's see. Where do I begin? God, it's so many.
Hey, Stro, do me a flavor.
Sure.
I continually watch the Norman Smiley in Las Vegas match with you when you all come out with the showgirls and everything.
Oh, yeah.
How did you guys put that together? That had to have been unreal.
Oh, that was crazy. Yeah, that was the same night as the Wayne Newton Dunk of Shame bit promo. That was right before the match, actually. And that was slated a quote-unquote hardcore match, anything goes. So it started off, they kind of billed me as like Mr. Las Vegas, and I'm upset because Norman has the showgirls, which later on we got to party on stage afterwards, which that was a hoot. And and I'm not gonna lie, I was not sober, so God knows what I do remember, don't remember that night. But so he comes out of these showgirls and I'm all upset, right? And we start going, I attack him right through the showgirls. I just plowed them, throw them out of the ring. Rip. And he, you know, he's coming at me, nails me with a chair. I get upset, I throw a ladder on him, stomp on him, chase him with the ladder all the way to the backstage area. I'm throwing around everywhere, and he's coming back on me, and he sees a tomb, and he opens up, and I'll be damned, there's the demon. he faints. I cover him, and that's it.
Oh, you gotta have
that
a clover.
Was the match. Yeah. So I mean, and which was funny because later on in the pay-per-view down the road, I did the exact same thing, fainting when I saw James Brown coming into the ring. I did my my best Fred Sanford impersonation, basically. It was really cool. but yeah, Vegas was pretty wild. It had a great time, and Showgirls were great. I got to the whole, you know, the leg bit, you know, and they taught me a few things, so.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine Vegas Showgirls being any fun at all.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, the feathers kept getting on my face. I kept sneezing every 5 minutes. Because they had the boas around them and everything. And
did you practice the pick-a-four leg lock and all of them?
What was that again? I'm sorry.
Did you practice the figure-four leg lock on each one of those showgirls?
Well, I mean, there was a lot of legs, but oh my god!
Hopefully, you didn't end up with the Boston Crab.
Oh God!
Oh yeah, no doubt. Or digging for him.
Oh
man! Good Lord!
So good.
Tonight's show is PG-13, kids.
God.
I did get into flying Toho one time though. I don't know if you've seen the flying toe hold where you just step on the foot and flap your wings, you know, basically.
Who was it who used to do the spinning toe hold? Was it a Briscoe? Wasn't it Jerry Briscoe who used to do the spinning toe hold?
It was him and Dory Funk Jr.
That's right. That's another one of those wrestling moves like Hulk Hogan's leg drop that no matter how many times you do it on me, it won't hurt.
Well, I don't know.
There are some wrestlers.
The acid indigestion kicks in, you know, hey, pretty powerful.
I mean, you'll get as dizzy as doing the airplane spin if you're putting that spinning toe hold on someone. You're
that's
the one
right.
That's getting hurt.
Oh, man, doing a spin, airplane spin on the full stomach? Forget about it.
Oh, man, I can imagine that one.
Sirenard to the bathroom that night, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Pray to the porcelain goddess.
Here's a funny story for you. SD Special Delivery Jones. Remember that guy?
Yeah, man.
Well,
Rufus R. Jones. Yep.
Yeah, I remember Rufus R. Jones, yeah. So I was told a story one time. I think, yeah, Mr. Fuji. Yeah, okay. Fuji was saying it. That one time he kept sneaking in and getting food before everybody else, that Mr. Fuji prepared for the boys. And Fuji was like, you know, wait, you get just plenty of food, you know. And you know, SD would sneak in and get the food, right, for everybody else. Well, what SD didn't realize, Mr. Fuji had put Epsom salt and the dirty rice.
And
just like Visine gets the red out, well, Epsom salt pretty much cleans you up pretty much the same. So,
oh, boy.
So, they have a battle royal later on that night. And during the battle royal, SD doubles up in pain holding his stomach on the mat. And which
he had a
checks on him
delivery
and says,
on the way, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. And Fuji's like, hey, what's wrong, brother? Are you okay? And SD's like, man, I don't feel so good. And Fuji goes, really? And does the Kevin Sullivan stubble stomp to the gut.
Oh!
Right. All over himself, yeah.
Code Brown.
And you can say SD won the battle royal that night because pretty much everybody throws himself over the top rope because nobody wants to touch SD after that. needless to say, that was a quote-unquote crappy finish. So that was.
And with any luck at all, he's wearing white trunks that night, you know.
Oh boy!
I think it was baby blue. I think.
Oh
God!
So there was some dirt in the ocean.
Oh. Do we remember what
some oil came out?
Oh man!
What was that? I'm sorry.
Do you remember where that happened?
I don't know. It may have been Madison Square Garden somewhere. I'm not sure. Somewhere up north.
Oh.
Madison Square Garden. You go all the way to the mecca of sports. The poop right in front of 25,000
million fans. Good God.
Oh, I
your
I know,
most
I was
embarrassing ma- moment.
I was in a tag match one time where the guy's partner, right in the middle of the match, just goes outside the ring and doesn't come out and leaves the guy hanging. We had no choice but to beat the crap out of him in the match, and he's all upset. So where the heck is his partner? He was in the can. He had to go take a dump.
So can I
honestly
say you scared
match,
the crap
you know?
Out of him?
Literally.
God, that's true.
Oh, my
yeah.
goodness.
But it's those little things, you know, that you don't think of. And you hear the old stories. God, who was it? Brooklyn Dodgers. Oh, the pitcher, Brooklyn Dodgers. His name's right on the tip of my tongue. But anyhow, he was talking, of course he's passed away a couple of years ago, but he was talking about in between every inning, he would go into the hallway and drink a beer and smoke a cigarette and then come back out and pitch because he was so nervous during a World Series. And, you know, you hear little things like that. And, you know, nowadays that's unheard of. You know what I mean? Back in the 50s and 60s, beer in the dugout was no problem. But, you know, now it's like, you know, he drank a beer. Oh, my God, you know. But you got to wonder when these guys go to the ring or when they go, you know, play football or something like that, you know, just how much do you have to kind of just, starve yourself out, so to speak, because you go in there, you're under the hot lights, and that makes me admire guys like Flair and Steamboat and all these guys that could wrestle for 45 minutes straight. It's, you know, you obviously can have absolutely no food in your system getting thrown around like that 45 minutes straight and sweating like that and everything. There's no way. And
I
God forbid
oh,
you
yeah.
got to pee, you know?
Well, check this out. One time, one story I can recall, I was wrestling this one guy, called himself the Lady Killer. And this guy, I don't know where he came from. I mean, he was pretty. I'll just say he's a very special individual. And he thought
okay.
he was Shawn Michaels, and had agility and everything, which I think agility left this guy a long time ago. But he had this lady manager with him, who she was three times his size, right? And
oh god.
I'm trying to feel this guy, but he's just terrible, and he starts showing himself, and I commence to give him a dose of reality, so to speak, and I think I slammed him sort of, man. And here she comes, right? She comes running in the ring, right? And she's going to jump on top of me, right? And I move, and she splashes her own man, right? gives him the big splash. I mean, just like King Kong Bundy style, you know? Holy cow. So, heck, I just pinned them both.
Sounds like a prom date to me.
I mean, the way she landed on him, I mean, it was kind of obscene, if you ask me. So I went ahead and pinned him and got the hell out of there. But, yeah.
That was
and you couldn't even see him. You couldn't even see him when she splashed him. It was all her. Basically, all engulfed.
Good. I think I spit my drink out.
I've seen some other films like that. Yeah.
It was just like the Alien movie. No joke. Where the alien comes out. You know what I mean?
You just saw a glimpse of her and then nothing.
Hey, Papa Trump.
Oh, hey, Justin. How you doing?
Hey, Dr. John. Hey, guys.
Hey, what's going on, big man?
Hey, Dave, how are you?
I'm doing
Stroh.
Good, buddy. We're having a little too much fun tonight.
You are? Hey, Stroh. Hey, with that lady doing that splash, was that a bullfrog splash or was that a tadpole splash?
That was a bullfrog splat. Oh man. Oh man. And John's sitting there in his chair right now going, why? Why did I?
No, I'm saying this is great. I want more. I got to have another Papa Stroh story that I've never heard. I think the fat manager splash, that's awesome. I'm writing that down. And what's the next? You always have the best one, so.
Oh. That is epic.
Yeah. You know what? He is returning. Papa Stroh. It looked like Papa Stroh dropped out. Now Papa Stroh is back with us, isn't he?
I'm back, just like the alien coming out of the chest. I'm back, just like Lady Killer coming out of the valet. Here I am.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling.
I'm a ragdoll gal. But my heart's on fire.
They actually did a skit like that off of Spaceballs, the movie.
Check, please.
Yeah, that was an epic movie.
It was actually kind of funny because they actually had the guy from Alien that actually had the chest buster.
Yeah, John Hurt was on there. Yeah. And he says, Oh, no, not again.
He's talking about, what did he have? The special?
Somebody get this man some Pepto-Bismol.
I'm trying to think of it. Was that the guy from Blazing Saddle? I'm trying to think of his name. Oh, God. Blazing Saddles. I can't think of his name. Oh, well.
Mel Brooks directly. But.
Yeah, I was going to say Mel Brooks was all behind all that, so.
Oh, yeah. Classic.
Yeah, we went on a Young Frankenstein rant the other day at work. So it was somebody, one of the new guys said, here you go, just walk this way. And as soon as he said it, I fell out laughing. And, of course, everybody's looking at me like, what's so funny? And all I can think about was, walk this way.
Master, it said abnormal.
You brung me an abnormal brain.
Oh my God.
But nothing really.
Something.
Oh yeah.
That would be something though.
I would wonder when they're putting together a movie like that. How many times, I mean, it must take them like 10 times as long to put together a movie like that than it does anything else, because I would be in tears the whole time. I mean, they would fire me because I'd be laughing so hard. There's no way I'd make it through there, you know?
Who could keep a straight face around Gene Wilder? I mean, oh, my God, that guy's terrible.
Well, it's like Caddyshack. If you just go through and just get right straight to the Rodney parts, I mean, when he hits that whole, look at this. What, do you get a free bowl of soup when you buy this? Oh, but it looks good on you.
Good on you.
Hey, look, it's the dance of the living dead.
Hey, smell, $100 says you're shrinking into the woods. There is no gambling in this establishment, sir.
I'd like to make $15 the hard way.
I mean, you were something when electricity got invented. You were something when electricity got invented.
My boy Ted Knight rocked it, though, man.
Oh, yes, he did.
Yes.
And you know the
Bush
funny what? Thing is I watched a documentary about Caddyshack, and Ted Knight actually hated Rodney Dangerfield, and thought
he did.
Rodney Dangerfield was like a non-pro. That Rodney was the downside of comedy, and that his particular brand of comedy was going to be the death of the whole thing. And Ted Knight just despised Rodney. that he was not in bed by 9 o'clock every night and everything.
Feuds, didn't they? Yeah, there's a couple of shoot feuds going on. Yeah, them and Rodney and Chevy Chase and Bill Murray, didn't they have one going on?
Yep. Yeah, they had a big feud about that.
Yeah.
And then they had to force them to make that scene with Chevy Chase and Bill Murray when they're sitting there, you know, talking about let's do some drugs and all that stuff. I mean, they felt like they had to have a scene. And so they wrote the worst possible scene. And then they're sitting there, they're hating each other, and they're trying to do something. And it was like, please, let's hurry up and go on, you know. That was like the worst moment in history. It was.
I think that's why they gave Chevy Chase the liquor bottle. Because he knew he
pretty much because like he kept taking a swig and then they would like cannonball and he would swig cannonball and then like take another swig. I'm like, good God! And the thing goes on about 5 minutes.
Oh man,
it does. But that was great. That was truly one of my favorite films.
When he picks up that baby Ruth in the pool and eats it, though, I swear to you, still to this day,
it's no big deal.
And when they played the Jaws music with that Baby Ruth floating around, they got the Jaws music playing in the back. I mean.
Then the last kid in the pool, he sees it, doo-doo, goes right back this way.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, God.
There's nothing worse in this world than a varmint Kong. When they put the hose in the gopher hole and that gopher's running down through his water.
Some Indiana Jones stuff.
I mean, here I am, a grown man. I'm a grandfather, for God's sake, and I'm sitting there just in tears watching this thing. And I've seen the movie 1,000 times, you know. You just can't help it. I mean, there's movies out there that, you know, Tommy Boy is one of them. I mean, there's not a day where you don't quote Tommy Boy, you know, with hit the old, that's a pretty girl down there, Richard. Or the,
I love you
watching
Spank of the Little Show. He was there.
Or better yet, when he takes the door and then he has the door open, he backs up, and then all of a sudden he can't get the door shut, so finally he gets it shut, and then he shuts it, doesn't do anything, wait for the guy to come back to the car, he opens it, falls down to the ground. What'd you do?
When all those M&Ms rolled down the dashboard, I mean, there must have been 40 pounds of M&Ms in that bag, and I mean, turned that corner. And if you've ever had a nice car and you've had somebody like that in the car with you, you know, and he's in there drinking a Coca-Cola or a Dr. Pepper or something with a ton of sugar in it, and he's sitting there munching on a Snickers bar on a 110-degree day, and all you do is you're not even looking at the road. You're like, dude, watch what you're doing.
Everybody, the idiots actually finally get a deer into the car.
Oh,
and they're
God.
Sitting there playing for 20 minutes and then finally get it in there.
Or when he hits the old,
right.
My uncle taught me this, just follow me. Bees, oh my God. Cops
fire hand.
I'm allergic to bees, I'm not getting out of here.
And the cops take off. Oh, good.
I wonder how many drones actually tried to pull that off over the years.
Hey, Dave, have you seen the new Pirates of the Caribbean movie?
No.
Truth be told,
I fell off of that
What was that?
The new Pirates.
Is that out yet?
It's in theaters right now.
Right now I'm watching the Dead Man's Chest, which is a pretty good one. They got some pretty good fight scenes in there.
Dead men tell no tales.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I just
so
watched
far.
Alien Covenant the other night. That was really good.
It was.
Very unexpected twist at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And then another movie I was watching, which I thought was, which wasn't too good, with Ice Cube. It was called Fist Fight. Oh my God, I didn't think it was that good. Anyway, Fist Fight.
Oh, that's the one where they had the thing in the school.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the two teachers go at it.
Yeah.
I think it was the two
day,
teachers
right?
went to school together or something.
Yeah, some of that effect. Today wasn't a good day.
Your teaching and all that other stuff.
Are we
Get
there yet?
Still, his best thing right now is that Geico commercial with that. Oh, you got iced tea here? Lemonade. Read the sign.
One of my favorite iced tea movies was Ricochet with Denzel Washington and John Lithgow. That movie's amazing.
Yeah, that's actually pretty good.
I thought he was excellent in New Jack City. I mean, everybody in New Jack City was hitting on all cylinders, even Chris Rock playing Pookie.
Wow,
he didn't win an Oscar for playing Pookie. And, I mean, everybody was spot on in that movie. And,
it'd be calling to me.
Yeah. It'd be calling Pookie. Me, man. Scotty, I don't know what to do. It'd be calling me. That's what I say after eating Taco Bell all night.
God.
Well, Wesley Snipes, he was such an awesome heel villain, man, in that one. Nino Brown, yeah, he rocked it.
Oh, easy. And, I mean, everybody, even Judd Nelson, for God's sake, for his lack of ability, he was good in that flick. Everybody in that one was awesome. And it was kind of pulled off a fact. Off of the Frank Lucas case, you know, that later with American Gangster, it was kind of a loosely based on that. But, man, I mean, everybody, and that's another one of those movies that you watch, and you didn't realize it back in the early 90s when you were watching it, but now you watch it in 2017, and you're like, God, man, all these guys are, like, all over the place now. You see a bunch of people in there that have gone on and done excellent stuff.
Right.
Platoons like that. Platoon, I was watching, and Private Ryan.
Platoon,
of course, yeah. You know, I watch Private Ryan every Memorial Day as, you know, just a little dedication thing. And, you know, me with a big, strong military background and all. And if you look at all the guys that are in those two films, you know, back in the 90s, well, of course, Platoon came out in the 80s. But if you look at all the guys that are in those movies and now, you know, who they are, later on down the road, they were nobodies when they were in those movies, you know?
Right.
That's right.
Great film.
This has been a lot of fun. We got two minutes till Papa Stroh's broadcast. I want to get him out off on time. I want to say thank you, Paul, for being with us tonight. Thanks for joining in and all the talk we had. Justin, thanks for calling in. Dave Atwell, it's been a pleasure. Papa Stroh,
yes, sir.
Great stories. Thanks a lot. And so I guess the two things I'll leave everybody with, number one, 10 o'clock p.m. tonight, Papa Stroh, Facebook Live, and then this Sunday at 6 p.m. in Wilmington, North Carolina, the world premiere of the sitcom Vaughn, directed by Michael Roberts. We're going to be there, Papa Stroh. We're going to have a great time, and look forward to seeing everybody next week on Comic-Con Stars, and also next Wednesday night, WCW. Oh, there's the British gal. And WCW Retro will be back on next Wednesday night. Right, Papa Stroh?
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
All right. Well, look, thanks to everybody. Great show. Had a lot of fun. We'll see everybody next week. Take care, and sayonara from Comic-Con Stars.
Thank you, guys.
See you later, everybody. Be safe.
Bye.